Newly released data from the Connecticut Department of Children and Families is providing a closer look at child deaths and other critical incidents involving children across the state of Connecticut. You may remember we had a conversation with State Senator Jason Perillo recently when we learned that since January of 2025, we've had more than a dozen children die, is the most blunt way I can put it. And it is just, it's a report that is so disturbing. And the idea of kids who either have histories of working with DCF or currently had cases with DCF falling through the cracks somehow is beyond disturbing. We need to fix it. Right. We need to fix it. But the first thing we have to do is highlight what's going on before we can come up with solutions. And so I want to go to News 8 investigative reporter and anchor Catherine Hauser, who's also a mentor of mine. I so idolize the type of reporting that she does, the woman that she is and the kind of work that she has done for Connecticut for so many years. She did this really deep dive into this new information and joins us now to break down the key takeaways. Catherine, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. You are so kind. And right back at you. I'm a big fan of you as well and your work. So I'm happy to come on and talk about something that I think a lot of people should be aware of and know about.
So what would you say for you were some of the key findings? First of all, I know this was pretty newly released data that came from DCF. What really stuck out to you?
So, you know, it's relatively rare that you get detailed information about child deaths from the Department of Children and Families. And I got a chance, as well as other media outlets, to look at this data. And this is information that they call their critical incidents database. So this is their tracking. And while it's not the whole picture, it certainly provides a window with some more details. So typically, and I know you know this, Melissa, as reporters, we use a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information request for information on specific cases or records. But a lot of times those records are kept confidential or they're heavily redacted. So this particular data set, it gives us a closer look at child deaths and other life-threatening critical incidents involving kids in Connecticut. And it covers a time period from January 2025 through May of 2026, so about a year and a half. So keep that time frame in mind. So here's what stuck out to me, which is what you asked. And looking at the database, there were 80 incidents that I looked at. And of those 80 incidents, there were 63 child deaths within that time period and 17 life-threatening incidents. Now, 63 is a number that may make your jaw drop. That's a significant number. Again, January 2025 until May of 2026. And I think it's important to note that sometimes DCF is brought in after a child death. Now, of those 63 cases, 20 of those child deaths were children with prior DCF histories or involvement. So that's significant. So these children, these individuals were known to DCF. There was familiarity there. So that's the number that sticks out to me is out of that 63, 20 had prior DCF involvement. And again, the children, they're unnamed, but it provides dates, insights, and a little bit of information into the DCF histories. And it's heartbreaking to read the details.
Yeah.
And the ages range from 17 years old to 4 weeks old. And these are, as you can imagine, I mean, it's difficult to read. These are children in difficult circumstances, abusive homes, there's neglect, there's drugs in the home, there's intimate partner violence, there's lack of schooling. It really runs this myriad of issues. But what I looked at is specific dates. While the children are unnamed, we do know of these several high-profile cases that have happened in Connecticut. And if you've been following this in the news, then you may be familiar with this. But the records include the details on, again, the several high-profile cases, including the death of Jacqueline Mimi Torres Garcia. And you may remember this, too. Her body was found 11 years old inside a storage container in New Britain in October of 2025. and the medical examiner ruled her death a homicide caused by fatal child abuse and starvation. So DCF's database, in that data line of her case, it shows six prior child abuse investigations before her death.
Mm-hmm.
And it stated that the history includes allegations of intimate partner violence, physical abuse, and substance abuse by the parents. So again, that was a window that we didn't have with DCF.
Mm.
DCF, excuse me.
And not to cut you off, Catherine, but I think, you know, so there was something that you said earlier that I think is important. Two things that you said, actually. Well, there's a lot you said, but the two things that stood out to me is the first you had said was we don't usually see even any of these kinds of details being released from DCF. And we certainly don't get this kind of data from DCF, which is pretty scarring detail, to be honest. I mean, I think you could, you know, blatantly say that this is a fail. So that's something that is very unique. And I'm wondering if that is because there has been such legislative pressure for DCF to reveal more, to share more. Because up until I think you've seen some of these high profile cases like Mimi, we really don't ever get this kind of data released, at least publicly.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. And I think we should note, too, that Mimi's mother, aunt, and boyfriend are all facing felony charges in connection with that case, a horrific case. But to your point, what was interesting this past legislative session, because of that pressure that you just mentioned, legislatively, public pressure, there has been a real lens put on DCF and what is going on there and how can this happen on their watch, where there's just a striking number of child deaths happening in our state. So there is a new law on the books. So this was created specifically in response to those high profile cases and concerns that were raised into oversight and DCF's decision making. So it doesn't go into effect until October 1st. So the changes remain to be seen, right? But there is something on the books that will go into effect this fall. But it creates a new oversight committee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be 32 members of lawmakers, state officials, child welfare experts, providers. It's going to expand transparency and strengthen oversight. So there's going to be additional review, more accountability measures. But the big question that a lot of people ask, they think it's a critical first step, but will it be enough?
Mm-hmm.
That is the question that still remains.
Well, and something else that you said before, we're talking to Catherine Hauser, investigative reporter and anchor for News 8, who did a full deep dive into this DCF data that was released recently. You said the 63 child deaths were reported, again, dating back to January of 2025. So again, that timeline of about a year and a half. Of those, about a third of them were children involved with DCF currently or had prior DCF history. So what are the other 43 kids? You were saying that that's when DCF comes in afterwards, like they're noted in the reports because they came in after the deaths had occurred. Just so I have right. clarity on that.
Yeah, and I'll give you one example. And it's horrifically tragic where you had a four-month-old pass away in the hospital who tested positive for cocaine in their system, and they were born premature. DCF's brought in after the fact.
Got it.
Unfortunately, there's a number of suicides as well where DCF didn't have prior histories with a 17-year-old that I was reading about. It really is, you got to think too and keep the perspective of there's a number of DCF caseworkers who are involved with these families. This is not easy work. But just reading through that, it's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. But those are just some examples of the ones where there was no prior DCF involvement.
We're chatting with Catherine Hauser, investigative reporter and anchor for News 8, and the very latest data that came out from DCF, which is pretty alarming, to say the least. It's interesting, Catherine, I know you're a mom, I'm a mom, and so I talk about how these cases are, you know, devastating. But even if you don't have kids, I just think that the state should be outraged, just absolutely disgusted by this. That's just a personal opinion of mine. I know you did a deeper dive into this, and it's interesting. If I can remember back, and I don't remember if it was April, it was May, it was sometime in the spring, we had Christina Gio on, the Office of Child Advocate, and she had said that there were major deficits with the agency that they were looking into. Now, I think that was related back to a suicide case connected to DCF. But in
which is in that number. It's in the data that we were looking at. And I think, and to finish your thought too, I think it's key. If anybody doesn't know, you know, what the Office of the Child Advocate is, it's an independent state agency. So Christina Gio serves as a watchdog over systems that affect kids, and it's her job to investigate whether state agencies are protecting children effectively, and also her job to recommend changes if they're not. So it's wonderful that you had her on to have that conversation, but you're exactly right. It was in April that she came out with a scathing letter specifically about the case of a 15-year-old who committed suicide within an hour of a DCF home visit. And that case prompted Christina Gio to write this critical letter and cited those specific concerns, those deficits that you mentioned, Melissa, about DCF case practices. That was really the crux of her letter, and she had a lot to say in it. And I'd love to know more about your conversation with her.
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly what I'm sure you and News 8 has heard from, you know, not just her, but I think other critics of the agency, which is that we need more information, which, again, going back to your initial point, maybe that is why we saw this report released, because there is such pressure of, look, you probably need some help. We know that there is a staffing shortage for DCF, but we also know that for too long, there have been unfortunate failures. And look, you know, I know a few DCF workers. One in particular I've known for well over 10 years has been a dear friend of mine. She's a DCF worker. Their job is tough. You couldn't pay me to be a DCF worker. I mean, when she describes to me going into homes where there's, you know, addiction, or there is violence, or there is abuse, or there is neglect, or it's an unstable home, and, you know, she's kicking down doors and she is replacing children from their families. I mean, it's a very tough job. I don't envy, honestly, the jobs of a DCF worker at all. I think that they are commendable, the work that they do. But the agency, two things can be true at the same time. You could have incredible workers, but my understanding is systems are not as solid as they can be. Leadership has not been as solid as it can be. There are nowhere near the amount of supports or protections in place for DCF workers to do their jobs effectively, and we just don't have enough of them. And so the one thing that I keep hearing about is, you know, DCF outlined for us, what can we do to better support you? What can we do to make this better for you? And one thing was to be more open about, you know, where are you guys falling short? What are some of the data points that we're seeing? And I think that's where this information kind of comes from a little bit. Going back to a case you mentioned before, Catherine, you brought up Mimi. And I think one of the biggest failures should have absolutely been, how in the world, while Mimi was in a container for months at this point, how were we living in a reality where a DCF worker did a Zoom call with a kid in a different state claiming to be Mimi, and it wasn't her? She'd already been gone for more than 6 months at that point. I mean, the fact that we're still in a place where this agency hasn't been overhauled, or we haven't said this needs to be priority number one besides bringing down our taxes and bringing down these things. I mean, you're talking about the welfare of kids in Connecticut. And it's crazy to me that it's not more of a priority, honestly. It is.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who have been extremely critical of that. Exactly to your point, that is one glaring example of, unfortunately and sadly, many examples of horrific things that have happened on their watch. And there are people who have been calling for change, saying somebody should have stepped in leadership wise and done something sooner. But this law, when it goes into effect on October 1st, is a first step, and it sets to expand transparency. So again, is this release of this data part of that? I don't know. But, you know, the timing is interesting on that. Yesterday, I did reach out to Christina Gio to get her take. Again, she is the state child advocate, on her thoughts on the data that came out. And she had an interesting statement. She said, OCA's greatest concern is the quality of case practice on a daily basis. DCF makes decisions that impact children every day. This fatality data alone is not sufficient to understand the quality of DCF's work. To be clear, the absence of a tragic outcome is not an indicator of high quality case practice. And again, she starts talking about that letter, as you mentioned, as well. She says, we understand questions have been raised about caseloads. And even just yesterday, there was a news conference in Middletown featuring DCF workers who were there saying that staffing levels are at dangerously low. That was one thing that they were sounding the alarm on. So this issue seems to be reoccurring. A lot of people are talking about it. And Christina Gio, for her to come out with a letter and now she's coming out with a statement again, she has been very much part of this process pushing for change. So we'll see what happens. Unfortunately, there's just been many tragedies, and this data points to that too, because it's just it's mind-blowing when you see these numbers.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Catherine Hauser, always appreciate the work that you do, obviously, for News 8. And I am going to link your full story to our website, voiceofct.com, for people to take a look at it. But again, always appreciate that I get to talk with you on and off the air, and for all the work that you do for Connecticut viewers. Thank you so, so much.
You're so welcome. It is great to be here with you and share some time this morning. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Catherine Hauser, again, investigative reporter and anchor for News 8 right here on WICC. And I will link her story that aired last night to our website, voiceofct.com. If you want to see more of the details, more of the numbers she talks about, you can find that on our website later on this morning.